This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
207, News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Monday installment of Your Afternoon Drive. The numbers here are 490-5858. Toll free, join us at 800-776-5858 on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Live. You'll find the show at Drive KMJ. Joshua Weekly stands by to screen your calls this afternoon as I join Skip Echeverria back in the KMJ studios.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Got another shot at the 25K payoff in play right now. You text the national keyword to 95819. If you're lucky, that turns into a $100 win. And if it does, that automatically enters you for a shot at the $25,000 grand prize drawing. And it starts with the national keyword, which you should be texting to 95819. What is it this hour?
It is grand. G-R-A-N-D, grand.
Text it to 95819. If you want to know more about the contest rules and details, visit us at KMJNow.com. There you will also find the Daily Buzz question. It's sponsored by the Buzz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Centers. Today, asking, in your opinion, should Alec Baldwin be prosecuted for the movie set shooting that killed one and injured another? You can share your opinion with us at KMJNow.com. Again, the Buzz question is sponsored by the Buzz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Center. Skip. Is there any?
Oh boy, that's a toughie.
Is there even something like just simple negligence that he should be charged with?
I think that if you're gonna charge him with something, the most you could probably do is negligence. I don't know, you know, if that would turn into probation. I think if he had defense attorneys representing him, he could definitely argue that there were systems in place that were failed to work the way they should have. So maybe negligence. I think civilly, though, is where he's going to get targeted. What about you? What do you think? Because it's split 51-49 on the Daily Buzz question.
I am torn. He's a grown man. So my inner Ron Swanson says, you're a grown man and an American. You should know how to check to make sure a weapon's safe. Like, that's just a thing that people should be taught, like how to clean a cast iron pan.
Yeah, but they don't.
But they don't. I know. Acknowledging that, if you can't demonstrate that he should have known better, like if he was a card-carrying member of the National Rifle Association, if he taught kids how to shoot carbines at Boy Scout camp, if he was in a whole bunch of movie roles a la Clint Eastwood where handling guns was central to the character, then I would say you can demonstrate that he should have known better. If he's handled a prop gun three times in the course of his entire career, and he's a left-wing gun grabber, I don't know that it's on him. I think it comes back to the armorer.
Yeah, so I think the armorer, and from what I've been reading, the assistant director are both in really hot water over this. I was trying to think of something similar. If Alec Baldwin goes to work and Alec Baldwin is under the assumption there is zero live ammunition on the set, like not even a thing you need to worry about, then does that leave him innocent in the experience, or at least not at fault legally? I'll give the best example I could think is if Philip, me and you were doing a stunt and you knew that if you hit the button, it was supposed to do a flashbang or something, right?
Yeah.
And if you hit the button, you don't know how to check it, because it's just assumed that it was taken care of. And then you hit that button and then it blows off my leg. Should you have known better? Should you have checked? Should you have not taken the prop masters? That's the only thing I can. And I know it doesn't line up 100%, but you get what I mean.
Yeah. You have a thing that you know to be dangerous, but you don't know how to check the danger yourself. So you are dependent upon a professional to ensure that danger is not present.
Or in that case, I just expected it to go boom and not actually, you expected it to just make a loud noise and not actually have anything that could hurt me.
I suspect that that was also the case with Baldwin, that he expected either nothing or he expected a loud noise and no harm. Criminally, I don't think that Baldwin's, I don't think that it's even worth the prosecutor's time messing with it. From a civil standpoint, I don't know what the man's relationship was like with this director of photography. I know that there are now pictures of him crying and hugging her husband. I would be devastated if something happened to my wife. I mean, it would absolutely gut me, especially they've got kids. Like, this is a terrible, terrible loss for a family. I would be gutted by that. But if the person who in all total innocence was the one who ultimately pulled the trigger is crying and sobbing and begging my forgiveness, I don't think I've got it in me to sue that person when they're genuinely contrite.
So I would line up with you on that, except for I was listening to a podcast once where they were talking about a man driving a big rig sued the family that he hit, and that family lost the mom and the child. Mm. And initially you go, oh my gosh, what a scumbag for suing, right? But the situation was that the father driving the vehicle wasn't 100% not at fault. It might have been like, I don't remember if he was tired or just not paying attention, whatever. And when he hit the driver of the big rig, that driver was, one, was hurt, and two, ended up having some really terrible kind of PTSD related to the fact that he killed a mom and a yeah. child. And so therefore had real issues about whether or not he was going to be able to continue his life driving as a truck driver. And so the lawsuit was actually, I think, against the insurance company or something, not privately. But his argument was like, look, one, I need the assistance here, both mentally and financially. And I think that they kind of separated it out by saying it was, you know, the insurance company and not the family. But so I don't know that I could really blame them if they did sue. But I think that they would probably sue this Rust production company or something, maybe not him individually.
I think that the production company, and I think that the armorer, that's where I'm going with this. And maybe I'm saying to Baldwin, you know, look, I have to feed my kids. I have to make sure that they have all of the things that their mother would have provided for them. I have to file a lawsuit because the loss of income, I have no earthly clue what a tier one cinematographer makes. I just mm-hmm. don't know. You could tell me it's $1 million a shoot. You could tell me it's $10 million a shoot. You could tell me that it's $10,000 and a happy meal once a week. I honest to God don't know what these people make. But I'm willing to bet that once you're working at a production level where Alec Baldwin's involved, your annual's probably six figures or at least close to it. I'm going to Baldwin. I'm saying I have to sue these people. Please testify.
Yeah.
On behalf of the plaintiff, because that way I definitely am not suing you because this wasn't you. This was them.
Yeah, that would make sense to try and create that kind of alliance there. Because, yeah, I mean, even if she wasn't making a ton of money at two income homes, then you're having to figure out how to parent and then parent through the grief of two children who have lost their mom plus your own, you know, partner. I would like, you know, I mean, it would sure be nice to say, oh, no, you know, he's sorry or whatnot. But you do have to think about those pieces.
I can't imagine what any of those people are going through right now. But I'm curious to see in a week, in 2 weeks, I'm curious to see what Baldwin says. This isn't the first time that cat's been through a rough patch, nothing of this magnitude, but it's not the first time this cat's been through a rough patch, and he's not particularly retiring about his frustration and his anger.
I would not be surprised to see him taking a break, a hiatus, if you will, from everything. I mean, I can't imagine you go to work one day and then you've killed somebody.
Yeah. I don't see him turning up on Saturday Night Live anytime in the near future. It's Philip and Skip on your afternoon drive. It's News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Got a lot of good stuff on the way for you guys this afternoon. The Facebook papers, the storm. And a California teacher who managed to quit her job using nothing but some construction paper and a weird mnemonic device.
It's a new era in News Talk, only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
If you missed your 2 p.m. keyword, it is grand, G-R-A-N-D, grand. You need to text that to 95819. You could win $100 this hour. Wouldn't be a bad way to start off your work week and qualify for the $25,000 payoff. Once again, the word is grand. Now, if you have been in the valley through the weekend, really anywhere in California, you notice that we got a little bit of rain, just a tiny little bit of rain. Actually, California, quote, pounded by a massive storm. But before we jump into this, Philip, can I share a story with you today?
Yes.
Okay, so, some of the roads, the thoroughfares here in Fresno get a little bit kind of bogged down by the water, right? Create some puddles. So my husband called me today on his way to go get his oil changed and goes, I need to tell you this because if I don't laugh about it, it's just not going to work for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, earlier this afternoon around 12 o'clock, it started to break out. Like the sun started to break out. Beautiful day. It's not raining anymore, but that crisp, fresh post-rain air. And he's driving down Herndon, heading towards Blackstone, decides not to get in the far right lane because that one's flooded. That one's bad.
Good call.
Okay. He had the windows cracked a bit because... beautiful day, get the air going through the car. Cool, you know, he's feeling good. He took the day off from work to run errands, take the kids to the orthodontist. Like, dude, good husband things. He's making pozole. I love him. Anyway, somebody in the equivalent of like a Subaru Crosstrek, but not a woman, strangely. That's all I ever see driving them. But anyway, comes flying up to turn. Guess what happens when the Subaru Crosstrek flies up to turn?
Traction brakes.
Water.
Oh, yeah.
Water everywhere, including the entire inside of Mr. Skip's car and himself on the way to the oil change. And he's wearing a sweatshirt and stuff, so that's like a different kind of wet when you get like a sweatshirt wet.
Yeah.
I was all, do I need to bring you some pants?
Oh,
I'm heading
man.
Into work.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh my God, I'm so glad it didn't happen to me. Could you imagine? Oh, he's got to sit in that for like an hour while his oil gets changed. Oh my God. So anyway.
This poor guy.
Yeah, and he's just like, I have to laugh about it because what else am I going to do? I was like, not come home and be grumpy. So I appreciate it.
So it will like he drop by Target and just grab like fresh sweats?
I don't know. I asked him, do you need me to bring you some pants? I'll bring you some pants. I don't know. He just dealt with it, I guess. But there's a lot of water out on the roadways. So even if you want to enjoy the beautiful air, don't drive with the windows down because somebody in a Subaru Crosstrek is going to rain on your parade.
It's going to wreck your day.
That really is about choosing perspective, though, right? Because you could turn into a grumpy butt at that point, or you could be like, I got to call and laugh about this. It's all about perspective.
Well, and it's... it's basically just water. I mean, it's gross water with whatever's been lying on the roadbed for the past 9 months, but it's still really just water. Yeah, you laugh. You pray for some dry clothes soon.
Yeah.
You move on.
Yeah. And you can't really be mad at the person because they're just, I don't know, feeling like they didn't know his window was down.
No, I disagree. Their ignorance of the situation doesn't mean that you can't be mad at them. You can't blame them. You can't chase them down and beat them. But you absolutely can toss a couple unkind words and a couple of birds in their direction when you get hit. I got hit walking down Shaw Avenue.
Did you really?
This was back when the Dead Bunny station was at the now gone building.
Okay.
So if you guys want to visualize it, Shaw Avenue between Carl's Jr. and Denny's, northeast corner of First and Shaw. And the morning show, Chris and Jen, had been shoved into this weird little not quite office, not quite lobby that was at the Shaw Avenue doors. And so it was those two, and then I think Brad was there by then.
That's a weird place for, and I know the layout of the building, very weird place for an office.
Zero privacy.
Yeah.
And they were constantly having problems with this lack of privacy. Well, those doors were popular for folks from the building who were going to duck out and like walk over to Denny's. It was the shortest route from inside to Denny's. And a group of folks from the sales pit were going to go over to Denny's and have a meeting. And the last one out the door left the door propped open. Just his intention was he was trying to not be a schmuck in case somebody was coming up behind him. The problem was Jennifer had left her purse on her desk.
Oh, okay.
And not just a purse. It had been a gift from Honey Bunny from their first like out of town trip date together to Marine World Africa, USA.
Oh, so it had like some sentimental value.
It was all sentimental. Yeah. It was an unbelievably ugly purse, but it was all sentimental value. And somebody walked up and took Jennifer's purse right off her desk.
Oh, no.
And I thought Chris was going to have a stroke. He was livid. Jennifer was devastated. Because like the credit cards and all that stuff, you make a couple of phone calls, you know, you go to the DMV.
It
sucks, but are we? Life does not change over an old thing, a chapstick. But the purse had sentimental value, so I thought, oh, I'm going to go out and just take a walk around, because probably somebody took this purse, grabbed the wallet, and chucked the purse into like a trash can or into the gutter. And it was a day just like today. It was pouring cats and dogs. And I'd gone all the way down to Chevron, checked the trash cans, gone into Carl's, checked all their stuff. And I was walking up. I was going to go to Denny's and check the trash cans there. And this white panel van, the only thing that was missing from this van was the words free candy and spray paint on the side, is westbound on Shaw, probably going to make a northbound turn onto First Street. And he hit a puddle. And the entire puddle came up at an 8-foot wall. I saw it coming. There was nothing that I could do. I just stopped with my hands at my sides, like T. Leone at the end of Deep Impact, and watched it hit me.
Oh, I would have at least like covered my face. Do you think that that person knew? Or, you know, like we're like, oh, let's get this schmuck. You were just trying to try and do good work.
I was just a guy on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew it, and I don't think he had any clue what happened, because had there been any chance that he was paying the tiniest bit of attention to me, he definitely would have heard what I yelled at his rapidly retreating van, because it was unquestionably displeased. And then I walked into Denny's, streaming water. I mean, like,
yeah,
in the shoes, walked in, looked in the trash cans, went back, apologized to Jennifer because I couldn't find her purse. And she's sitting there, and she's really sad. And she like the light bulb goes on, and she goes, "Why are you wet?" And I told her what happened, and she had an okay laugh at it, considering.
Well, I feel like you just took a little bit of the sting out of it. It was a little bit of a sacrifice, and I would like to thank Keith. He says it's written that wives will always laugh at their husband's unfortunate happenings. Maybe. Just maybe, but we'll talk more about the rain coming up.
It's funny, but it's also okay to yell at the guy that hit the puddle that got you. Mr. Skip is okay to just think a bad thought at every cross truck he sees for like a week.
I'll give him the go ahead. As long as he's still got dinner on the table when I get home. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
There's
just
that kidding. Wifely empathy.
Just kidding.
News time now. So here's good, Liz.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
2:37, it's News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ, Philip and Skip on your Afternoon Drive. Central Valley Career Fair is back Wednesday, 11 to 2 at the Sierra Vista Mall. If you're looking for a job, if you're looking to upgrade the employment situation, this is the place to be. If you're looking for employees, this would also be a fine option. If you want to know more, go to kmjnow.com. Be you a job seeker or a job provider. Be a part of the Central Valley Career Fair at the Sierra Vista Mall on Wednesday, 11 to 2. Rain came through. There has been some rock and mud slides. We've seen evacuation warnings across a whole bunch of the fire scars. And the Bay Area is getting pummeled. I'm a little surprised that we haven't heard something to the effect of just stay home. We'll open on Tuesday.
We were up there over the weekend. The winds were upwards of 30 miles an hour, raining nonstop. How they managed to play that game in Santa Clara is unreal to me. But I guess the NFL only stops for lightning. San Francisco was really hoping they'd stop for something else. Not such a good show for them. But it was bad. There were a couple of big rigs blown over on some of those bridges. Not fun.
It was rough. Down here, we've seen a little bit of damage, a couple of trees down. My neighbors lost a limb off of a tree when I left there.
You weren't parked anywhere near it, though, right?
No, damn it. And
you want to park the Mazda under it? Is that the plan?
Dude, I've worked in this building for almost 12 years now. There was a guy that we worked with here who had been in this building. There's a handful of people that had been here since KMJ moved into Radio City. In the entire time that this group has been on this property, there have been 4 incidents of cars coming over the retaining wall and dropping down into our below ground parking. 3 of them occurred within 6 weeks of each other. I couldn't pick the right spot in a million years. I finally gave up.
You're just lucky. Just keeping that car
alive. I'm going to be driving that stupid thing forever. I'm not going to get rid of it. It's paid for.
Yeah.
It works fine. But I would love for a tree to fall on the car. That would make me very happy. I've got comprehensive insurance, and then I can go get another car.
Well, there's still time.
Apparently, I just need to go park on my neighbor's lawn. Did you see anything particularly dramatic out on the Bluffs?
It's not the Bluffs. No, except for just waterlogged roads and stuff. And we had talked about, is there anything we were doing to prepare? That I walked outside, looked out my garage, and went, yep, I'm glad I'm up on this anthill. We'll call it a bluff in the neighborhood. But we were lucky. It's a newer neighborhood, though, so there aren't all those big trees. I know that'll come later. I just saw that driving in. San Francisco, though, I mean, I was holding on driving home. It was a whole different story. San Francisco had about 4 inches of rain in one day. That made it the fourth wettest day ever in San Francisco in the downtown area, with records going back to the gold rush years. And then I saw that some of our listeners up in the Santa Rosa area were preparing for flash flooding. There was some evacuations even of apartment complexes and things that were near, you know, otherwise kind of dry riverbeds. I hear Yosemite Falls up in Yosemite is looking beautiful, but you got to be careful if you're going to be driving up that way. And there was snow reported in Sequoia Kings.
Yeah, I think that this is probably one of those times, if you don't need to be up there, don't be up there right now.
Might be a good idea.
But the expectation is that we're done with this rain by tomorrow, correct?
That's what I've been reading. So it was a lot awfully fast. Now, the wind gusts are going to continue. The windiest spots are up in Northern California. But we still could get a little more snow up in the high Sierras. But I think at this point, it's just a matter of making sure there's no rock slides or mudslides. I saw rock slides reported in the Lake Tahoe area and some snow actually over there in Lake Tahoe. So this dumped a whole lot of water and snow from Washington through Oregon and throughout most of California.
God knows we need it. I am, as always, aggrieved that there's no effort towards capturing and storing more of it. And I'm going to enjoy it for as long as I can, man. Although I won't be driving around with my windows down, sir.
Lesson learned. And just give yourself extra time. This time of year is when there's a rain event like this. Even if I know where I'm going, I put on one of the apps to check for traffic and stuff. Because while folks like Greg Lane do a great job, sometimes you need to know, like, right now, is 99 going to be a mess? And so I personally use the Waze app. I find that helpful.
That's been a mixed bag. I think that there's people who intentionally tamper with it.
Oh, maybe.
To cause you to take directions that don't necessarily improve your commute time so much as maybe...
Chaotic evil people?
Chaotic evil people are folks who really want you to swing by that new little bakery in their neighborhood.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
All right. The Facebook papers are rapidly becoming maybe the biggest issue on both coasts. I mean, Silicon Valley is losing their minds over this. Washington is just starting to react to this. And if you haven't really heard what this is yet, this is a multinational collaboration. There are 17 American news organizations involved: Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Associated Press. Just go down the list. There's a separate consortium of European news outlets who have also been working on this. And what these papers are is thousands of internal company documents shared with the media by Frances Haugen, the whistleblower.
Yeah, she had started sending out some of this information or allowing it to be shared with the press a while back. Then she came out and did her big interview on 60 Minutes. And since then, it's a lot of information to go through. So they have, they began publishing content related to looking at this material starting at 7 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
And what's cool about it is you have all of these documents and you've got a bunch of different eyes and a bunch of different perspectives looking at it. And so each member of that consortium gets to report on the contents and their significance kind of in their own way. So I like this because maybe you might have somebody who's like a little more, I don't know, friendly with Facebook or doesn't necessarily have the sideways kind of distrust of it. It's an international look at it. So we're not just talking about how it has manipulated American society. It's international. It's going to be interesting. Now, there's redacted information, obviously, in there. So,
well, and they're cutting out the names of like low level employees and people who made complaints, that kind of thing. So there's an effort to protect non-players. And that's, I think, just human. Everything that I have read so far and every word of Haugen's testimony so far has been completely predictable to me. Facebook is more concerned with profit than they are with the mental health or the physical safety of Facebook users. Facebook users were never the customer. The customer has always been the folks who want to buy advertising. Facebook has been completely inadequate in policing things like terrorism, because apparently they can't figure out how to hire people who speak the relevant languages. Meanwhile, they'll jump all over completely innocent American posts for using triggering language like freedom and patriot. They're aware of the fact that they from their own internal studies, they are aware of the fact that their Instagram system has a measurable negative effect psychologically on adolescent females. And their reaction to that is to try and get the Instagram for Kids program up and running sooner.
And I think one of the bigger pieces that Haugen is pointing to, and has, I don't know if this is where there's going to be the repercussions for Facebook as a whole, is that her argument, she alleges that Facebook misled investors and the public about its role perpetuating misinformation and violent extremism relating to the 2020 election and the January 6th insurrection, meaning that they had information that was saying, hey, we should probably do something about this, or this should be setting off some sort of triggers or a security system. And instead they didn't. We see what happened. And then by going, oh, we had no idea, they kept their stock price up. And that's where I think they could get in trouble.
My question, and I'm going to ask this of you and of you guys at 490-5858. And I mean this in all sincerity. Does a word of this surprise you? And if not, why are we still using Facebook?
Coming up after the 3 o'clock news, you will have your next keyword in an attempt to win $100 this hour and get one step closer to the $25,000 payoff. That is on the way after three. We were discussing the Facebook papers, if you're just tuning in. These are the papers that were released by the whistleblower that are now being examined by not just 17 American news organizations, but also a slew of European news outlets that are going over these documents to see just how poorly Facebook has been moderating its own users. And you would ask the question, Philip, if we know this and we're not surprised, why are we still using it as we Facebook Live right now, our own show? Why are we? Because I go back and forth, like, just forget it. Don't even worry. Like, half the time I don't even respond to like what I'm assured is troll behavior online. But then also, like, we're supposed to grow your footprint and use it to reach out to people and blah, blah, blah.
I'm torn between telling you that I continue to use it because I believe that by simply using it in a way that's not terrible, you're improving the experience, and admitting that I continue to use it because I'm lazy and it's a shortcut. Facebook Live is very easy to set up. Yeah, you know, Don't ever let anybody lie to you and pretend that Facebook Live is some kind of logistical brilliance that's giving you a unique insight. I'm using a webcam that I fished out of the recycle bin, a tripod that might actually be made of garbage, and it's plugged into a computer that was already here anyway. That's it. If there's any like financial anything in this, it's probably that I cost the company the dollar worth of recycling that they would have gotten for throwing that junk in the blue bin. And it gives me access to a couple more people. It makes it easier for a few more people to find what we're doing and listen or participate or just know that the station exists. It's easy. Great way to stay in touch with that extended family. Most of the people in my extended family, I'm not especially close to. They're lovely people. We're just not hanging out. Facebook's really, really easy. They're just kind of there. And once in a while, I like or I comment or I send them a happy birthday note because Facebook's nice enough to remind me that that's a thing. And I tell myself, well, you're using it in a positive way. You are increasing the net benefit of the platform. But I don't think, I'm starting to think that that's not possible. I'm starting to think, looking at the Facebook papers, that what we really have, and I don't think that Mark Zuckerberg's some evil Bondian villain. I think he's a guy who wanted to get laid.
Yeah, we'd have been so much better off if Mark Zuckerberg just knew how to talk to women rather than use the platform to try and rate women, which, by the way, they're trying to rewrite their own history. I saw something by Facebook saying it was about creating communities of college students. No, it was a hot or not for college co-eds.
Yeah.
That's all it was. Don't try and sell me on that, Mark. Keep it a while or no? So torn.
I'm ready to transition away from the platform. The overall negativity that it has brought into the world outweighs any potential benefit.
I went to a comedy show over the weekend where there was a whole thing about how Twitter is hot garbage. Yet we're all on it.
Yeah, and there's that. Maybe the internet's just bad.